Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
All right, hey, if you would open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. And no, that is not a coffee shop. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, we've been on a series. We've called it our core values. And you're going to see as we go through these that there's a lot of overlap on these core values. But this is the way a human being was created to live and function. And how many know as the body of Christ, we ought to be the example of how that is. We started off talking about seeing yourself in the mirror of the new creation. I don't know how many months ago that was, but oh yeah, if you don't have the notes for today, go ahead and raise your hand and the ushers receive it. You receive those. No. We've moved on to a new core value. We finished up one last week. It was actually 4 weeks running. But here in Hebrews chapter 4, the writer of Hebrews makes this statement. It talks about, therefore let us fear or reverence if while a promise remains, verse 1, of entering his rest. How many know the promise still remains? Of entering his rest. And then jump down to let's look at verse 9. So there does remain a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his own works, as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest. To enter that rest, the core value that we're moving into. And all these, by the way, are on our website. The core value is live engaged in faith's revelation, grace-empowered people. We're free to be people who develop a lifestyle. Everybody say lifestyle. How many of a lifestyle is all the time, not just certain times of the week? We are people that are free to be people that develop a lifestyle that rest in the power of His presence, that which faith reveals, and we're unlimited resources at any time, any place, any circumstance, towards anyone. I'll read that again. We are free to be people who develop a lifestyle that rests in the power of His presence. That is what faith reveals. Unlimited resources at any time, any place, any circumstance, towards anyone. I don't need to mention this to you folks that are here, but it may come as a shocker to some folks, but living as a new creation is naturally absolutely impossible. It's supposed to be. The problem is natural man has dumbed it down to the point where it is possible, so they've blurred the lines to the fact that no one can tell the difference between what is Christianity with the new man and any other religion on the planet. But the reality of it is, and this is what Father has always intended, that natural man was never designed to live disconnected and live on the same level as the new man. It's just not possible. And we even have examples between the old covenant and the new covenant of what the old man used, the natural man used to look, looks like disconnected from the Creator of the universe, and what the new man looks like living connected to the Creator of the universe. And, you know, just take Peter as the example, and it's a pretty stark contrast. So we have to understand that regardless of what has kind of been put into us as human beings down through time and in the religious theological circles that human beings run, that a Christian is not just a natural man that just got religion. If that's the way it comes off, then you're not really living in your new man, you're still living in your old. Because the level of existence that the new man is created to function at is so much above that which a natural man can function at, there should be a stark contrast between the two. Which there is in Scripture, but sometimes what we see in everyday life now, we don't see that contrast, but there should be a stark contrast. How many know there are things that the new man who's living connected functions in that the natural man cannot? We have examples all over Scriptures. I mean, you see Moses, who connected with the Spirit of God, did what God told him to do, when he told him to do it, how he told him to do it. And you see the contrast with the power of God and the power of darkness in the folks that were in Egypt trying to duplicate what he did through the Spirit of God. And they did to a certain point, but there came a point in time when the Spirit of God just completely absorbed and overcame anything that darkness could do. And I'm telling you this, folks, that the Spirit of God is taking this church to a place where I believe he's taking not just this church, but so many other churches across the land and across the world to a place and a level of connection with him that natural man will have to stand back and say, how in the world are you living there? And they'll stop and they'll look up and they'll take their focus off on natural things and natural events and natural politicians and natural this, and they'll say, you know what? There's such a stark contrast between what you're doing and where you're living at in life and where I'm living at. I want that. So, this is probably my favorite core value of all of them, if I had to be honest about it, just because we're going to get into some things in this particular section of the core values that I really hope, I'll just be honest with you, I really hope it just rocks your world. And again, a lot of this stuff, maybe we've talked about it and touched on it in other places, but there are going to be folks that did not hear what we talk about and what we teach. And I don't believe we can teach these things too much because we've had hundreds of years of the same old, same old. And if we're honest about it, if we don't stay on this, we'll go right back to where we came from in our thought processes, and we don't even realize it. There is no neutral. We're either going forward and we're staying in step with the Spirit of God, and we regress back to the familiar and the comfortable. I asked the Lord, what do you want to do this next year? He says, I want to take you to a place where you stop thinking and live it in the possible. I want you to step out into the impossible so I make it possible. He said, Father, I want to learn how to do that because we get comfortable with the possible. He said, I want to raise up a people and a church that they may come in the door impossible, but they leave a totally brand new species, a brand new everything. I don't want my people to ever look at any scenario, any situation, any circumstance, any disease, any infirmity, anything, and say, well, that's just a little bit beyond my pay grade. Because it's just not. So 2014 is going to be a fun year. If we're willing to stay out of our thinking in certain areas and get over into his. So our core value today is this, that we are people that are developed in a lifestyle, that we rest in the power of his presence, and we rest in that which faith reveals, unlimited resources at any time, any place, circumstance, towards anybody, any place, anywhere. Go over to, since we're already in Hebrews, go over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And again, I understand that there's a lot of these things we've already touched on at one time or another, but if you think this is the last time I want to touch on it, you're kidding. We'll probably touch on it from now until we're gone. Because there are things, folks, that the Spirit of God wants to change our culture, change the way we think, and therefore change the way we function. And I really believe, you know, I don't mean this in a bad way, but I really believe that the Spirit of God really does want to change the culture of the New Testament church in the modern days. Because, quite frankly, and I'll, you know, we'll get into this in the next couple of weeks, but quite frankly, if what we're teaching and what we're communicating when we're out there as living our life, I'm not even talking in a building, I'm talking about just living life outside. If what we're communicating to people doesn't draw the same reactions that it drew in the time of Jesus, I mean, Herod thought the only way a man can do these things is if the dude was dead and came back to life. That's the only way that the things that are being done through this man could be done. That was Herod's response. When was the last time that anybody came out of a church or came out of an environment that there was new creation believers and came over and had this thought process? The only way that those kind of things could happen is if somebody had special powers. I mean, Paul and Barnabas got in front of a bunch of folks and a guy got healed, and they said, man, the gods have come down and visited man. When was the last time what we communicated to people drew that kind of a response, that it had to be something that was beyond human capability? We just don't draw those kind of responses. You know why? Because we don't talk about the gospel in that context. But yet you see Jesus and you see what Paul and Barnabas were communicating. Whatever it was that it was being communicated, it was drawing the response that this is clearly beyond natural human beings' abilities. Can you see that? So we ought to have the same kind of responses. You know, look, it doesn't matter if anybody believes. The person that got set free already knows it's true. And the fact of the matter is if the guy that didn't believe was the guy that got delivered, he wouldn't be saying this ain't real. But the context of what we're saying and who we are and what we live should draw those kinds of responses from human beings. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's the conviction of things not seen, for by it the men of old gained approval. Now, I want you to see this in the light of resting in the power of His presence and what faith reveals, because faith is a revelator. Faith reveals something. And I'm going to make some statements in these notes. They're in your notes already, but I'm going to make some statements, and I really hope they bring some clarity, because so much of what we've called this is faith in the earth is really somebody trying to muster something up. But I'm telling you that the reason why that is there is because that's what a disconnected person does. That's just the system. I mean, what else are you going to do? If you're not connected and you don't understand what faith really is, where it comes from, what it is, how does it function, what is it telling you when it shows up, if you don't understand that, if you're not living plugged into the person behind all of this, then you're gonna come up with ideas in your head and try to do things because you think this is pleasing God or this is how the system is, so therefore I must, you know, if you listen to individuals that really they're not explaining things in the context of the flow of being connected. If you look in Revelations, I was reminded of these, the Spirit of the Lord woke me up this morning and gave me three verses that I forgot to put in my notes. But one of them was in Revelations. He said, let me remind you that there's a river flowing from the throne. That's the reality of the Father. There's a river flowing from the throne. There's a river flowing out from the throne. But the throne is in you. Because you're a connection. Whatever is real in the unseen, whatever is real with Father is supposed to be a reality for us. Jesus says the kingdom is in you. So there's a river that flows out from His throne. So if you understand that everything comes from Him, then you read these verses in Hebrews and we understand, the laboring to enter into rest, the rest that He rested, is everything comes from Him. So faith is not something that comes from you. Hebrews 11 says that faith is the assurance. The word assurance there really is in the Greek New Testament is the word hypostasis. It means, really it's two different words. Hupo means under and stasis means to stand. It's really the picture of something that's the undergirding of something else. Faith is the undergirding. It is a setting or a placing under a substructure. It's the undergirding that which actually exists. And then he says it's the evidence. It's that word evidence is literally the Greek word that means legal evidence in a court. I've told you this before, that when you're reading your word and the Spirit of God shines a flashlight on something and the hope comes to you. The word hope in this verse is passive tense. That means it's not something that comes from you. It comes from outside of you into you. So when you're reading His Word and you're spending time with Him as a person, He shines a flashlight on things in the Scripture. And as soon as He shines a flashlight on those things and draws your attention back to those things, hope comes into you and faith rises up because the faith is telling you it's real, it already exists, now take ownership of it right now. So you see the flow from that which comes out of the throne to you. It's a constant communication of Daddy wants you to know things. He wants you to see things. He wants you to take ownership of things that belong to you. And then when you take ownership, you rest in those things because you already know they're yours. Faith is the undergirding. It's the substructure. It is that which actually exists. It's the evidence of things that you don't see in this natural arena. And then in verse 2, he goes one step farther and he illustrates how it functions. He says, by it, men of old gained approval. Now, here's how most folks have read this verse. And I'm telling you, they've read it from the place of living disconnected from the presence of Him. Because the way they read it is, I have to have faith so I get approval from Him. Everything starts with you. But that's not what that verse says. That's not even the context of verse 1. Verse 1 is telling you there's a flow from the unseen to the seen. When faith shows up, it's communicating to you what is actually yours and what exists. It's proof. The hope comes into you, the faith rises up and tells you it's for real, it's real. Take ownership of it. So in the context of that which flows from the throne, verse 2, it says, by it, faith, or that which faith reveals, men of old gained approval. Now that word gained approval is interesting because it's listed like four different times in this chapter. And it's talking about the fact, it's the same word that means to bear witness. Romans 8 says that the Spirit of God's job inside of a man is to bear witness with his spirit. A, that he's born from above, and then everything else after that. That's the Spirit of God's job, is to bear witness in our spirit. That's how He functions. So we are, the new man is, the environment in which the new man functions is that which the Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit. Well, what do you think faith is? Faith is the bearing witness by the Spirit of God that there's something that really exists. Take ownership of it. By that which faith reveals, men of old had things borne witness to them. And then if you go and you read some of these other verses, look at verse 4, Hebrews 11, verse 4. It says, by faith Abel, or by that which faith revealed, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which, that which faith revealed, he obtained the testimony. The word testimony is the same exact Greek word. He obtained the witness. And then you go on that he was righteous. And you go on to verse 5. By faith, or by that which faith reveals, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness, same exact word, that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Without faith, without that which faith reveals, it is impossible, and acting on that, it's impossible to please him. Because the source is Him. He wants you to live connected to Him. He never designed a system where we could just get some print, run off, and do our own thing. Our existence is vital to being connected to Him all the time. Go to verse 39. It goes through all these folks and all these different environments and all these different scenarios. It talks about the men and women of old, that they saw something. They saw something. How many know faith is a revealer of things? And then in verse 39 it says, and all of these, having received the word approval, is the same exact word. They had something, it's in the passive tense, they had something borne witness to them. That was faith in action. They did not receive what was promised because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us they would not be made perfect. So faith is a revealer. Principle number one in your notes, living a connected life. I want you to get this, because this in a nutshell sums up where the body of Christ is right this very second. And really, every human being that's breathing, let's just not segregate it. It's every human being that's breathing. This is where man lives. Living a connected life will reveal through a witness what a disconnected life will work to manufacture. Do you understand what I said there? Living a connected life will reveal through a witness. That's the way the new man is supposed to function. He gets things through a witness. The Spirit of God bears witness with us. Faith bears witness with us. That's the way the kingdom environment functions. So we get things through the Spirit of God bearing witness with our spirit. When you're meditating on scriptures, or you're spending time with the Spirit of God, and he shines a flashlight, so to speak, and draws your attention to verses or a verse, or ties different verses together, and all of a sudden the light turns on, so to speak, and he draws your attention to that, and then faith rises up. That faith shows up to communicate, to reveal something to you. So the new man is created to get things through that which is communicated into his spirit by the Spirit of God. But see, if you're not taught about that reality, then you'll spend your whole entire life trying to get and work to get and work to establish what this new man just gets by revelation. Does that make sense? So let's read that principle again. Principle number one, living a connected life will reveal through a witness, in contrast, what a disconnected life will work to manufacture. Go over to Romans chapter 1. This really does sum up where we're at, folks, in our human experience. Let's just narrow it down in this situation to those that would wear the name Christian. When was the last time you had a conversation with a Christian and told them that they were the righteousness of God, and they looked at you sideways, crossways, and said, "You're crazy, that's not so at all, you're teaching heresy," and walked away? Maybe not that drastic, but I mean, something along those lines. I mean, you see it. If you've never talked to anybody, just go on some of these Christian chat online and then go, you'll see if people respond to stuff like that. The majority or the major thought process of most people that would call themselves a Christian do not adhere to that reality. They'll fight it vehemently. Why? Because most Christians, the same ones, have been trained to live this Christian existence with only print and a bound cover, and they have absolutely no connection to the person behind what's in those pages. So because they're living a Christian life that is a disconnected life, they're not subject to that which faith reveals to them. Because the new man was designed to get things through that which is revealed, not through trying to work to establish it. Paul even brings it out just in the context of natural men. I mean, in Romans 1:16, he says this. He says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, the Jew first and also for the Greek," so basically every human being. And then verse 17, he says, "For in it," in the gospel, "the righteousness of God is revealed." What's the system of the kingdom? The system of the kingdom is through revelation, by the Spirit of God in your spirit. So Paul says, in the gospel, really, more accurately, the Greek New Testament, there's no word "the" there, it's just the word "a." I mean, it's not really the word "a" either, it's just righteousness. It says, "For in it righteousness of God is revealed," or you could say a righteousness that's from God is revealed. Out from faith. Everybody say, faith is a revealer. This is all over your Bible, guys. Faith reveals things to you. It's not something you manufacture and try to have so that you can be pleasing to Him. He's pleased when you take what He gives you, He reveals it to you, you take ownership of it, and you act on it. That's the way the kingdom functions. But you cannot live life completely disconnected from Him. Folks, can I just be honest with you? If our jobs are more real to us than His presence, we got our priorities screwed up. We love you, Pastor. Maybe. I don't care if you love me or not. That's true. If our natural lives are more real to us than His presence, then we got things messed up. Because your mind and the things in the natural will speak so loud to you that you won't even know how to get revelation from the Spirit of God, because you only spend time with Him once a week. This is a lifestyle, not an event. Right? So, if we just understand that since it is a lifestyle, and of course, obviously everybody's in a different place, so what? Don't fall into condemnation, but make it be constant. Make it be a constant, continuous thing for you. If He's not that real to you, then He will get there. Right? We just need to keep showing up. Keep spending time with Him. Just make it a lifestyle. And He'll make Himself real to you. He said, if you draw near to Me, I'll draw near to you. Right? So, Paul says that there's a righteousness. In this thing called the gospel, there's a righteousness that's revealed out from faith. And the purpose of that righteousness being revealed out from faith is to take you into faith. And it's that process, out from faith into faith, out from faith into faith. In other words, what's He doing? He wants to take you from one level of glory to another level of glory to another level of glory to another level of glory. How many know there's more to this life than what you have naturally grasped with your mind? Pastor Shelby said this morning, there are angels in this room. I don't care whether you agree with that or not, they are. There's one standing behind me right now. And there's one with you right now. And there's probably a bunch of other ones right now. And I guarantee you there was a bunch of them in here when we were worshiping Him. But notice what he says here. He says in the gospel there's a righteousness that's revealed out from faith. And the righteous man is designed and created to live out from that faith. He says the righteous man will live by or out from his faith. And that's constant, ongoing. But notice what he says in Romans 10. He's talking about natural men. And he says, as a result of them being natural men and being disconnected, he says, they have a zeal for God. How many know there are people that have a zeal for God? Cool. But it's going to take you off in the ditch if you don't live connected. He said, they have a zeal for God, but it's not according to knowledge. Now that word knowledge is, you guessed it, it's the word revelation knowledge, that which is revealed from heaven. He said, they have a zeal for God, but it's not according to that which is revealed from heaven. So therefore, as a result of them being disconnected and not connected to that flow of that which is revealed from heaven, they don't know about, they don't have the, literally, I thought it was interesting, in the Greek New Testament, it literally is the word that means they lack the capacity to understand the righteousness of God. So they go around trying to seek to establish their own. Go back to principle number one. Living a life connected will reveal through a witness in contrast to that which a disconnected life will constantly be working to manufacture. And hence you see the scenario. I know once this goes out on the airwaves in the internet world, whether it's this year or 10 years from now or whenever it will be, there will be some folks that wear the name of Christian, they will get mad. And they'll say, why are you talking about me like that? You shouldn't open your mouth. But the fact of the matter is there's so much environment in what we've called Christianity that really this is where they're living. They're living disconnected. They don't understand the things from the Spirit of God. They don't understand the system of the kingdom of God and how it functions, the environment. They don't understand what faith is. They don't understand what it means when it shows up. They don't understand where it comes from. Because they've been trained to live their whole life self-sufficient with print. And they don't understand there's a person behind those things and they never got to know Him. I mean, you can listen to Christian music and hear the words and you can tell this person doesn't know Him. They may know about Him, but they don't know Him. Because you can tell what they're saying. There's a disconnect. And so Paul is simply saying, look, when there's not a connection and you're not getting, because the Spirit of God is, look, there's only one gospel. And it's going to always communicate the same thing to every human being that's breathing. And that is that Jesus made you righteous, period. You no longer have under the dominion your old nature. You are free from that. Learn to live out of your spirit. And learn to take direction and receive the witness of the Spirit. Faith is revealing things to us. So if we understand when faith shows up, that's what's going on, then don't just ignore it. If you have to write it down in a journal, write down what he shows you. But take ownership of it and never let it go. When Jesus told the guys, hey, let's get in the boat, man, let's go across. So they get in the boat and they're going across, and Jesus has crashed in the back, having a nice nap. He knows very well where we're going. You don't think he knew about that demon dude on the other side? He wanted to take care of the whole city. They get halfway across. The storms kick up. It was a demonic attack, by the way. It wasn't just natural storms. One of the other writers brings that out, that it was actually demonic. He was trying to drown them. Well, the disciples freaked out, and they go wake Jesus up. And one guy says, they said, we're perishing. And then another writer says, don't you care? Sounds like some Christian nowadays. Why do we say those things? We say those things because we're not connected. But if he shows you something, he's revealing it because he's telling you it belongs to you. The scripture even says, that which is revealed belongs to man. What do you think faith does? Faith reveals things, and when it's revealed, it belongs to you. Don't you dare let go of it. So, we see the contrast between the living connected and living disconnected. Now, the question would come up, what does it mean to be live? What do you mean live connected? Well, Romans 4:16, notice Abraham as an example. It says, for this reason it is out from faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, everybody say grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed. Now notice a little farther down in verse 17, it says that as it's written, Abraham was called the father of us all, or the father of many nations. God said, which I've made you. And the very next phrase says, in the presence of him. Do you honestly think Abraham was just flying blind on a thought process that he thought was right? That he accomplished all that he accomplished because he had this golden tablet that somehow got some mystery writing on it, and he just thought this was the greatest thing, and so he just ordered his life according to something that was in print? He lived in the presence of him whom he believed. The Lord showed up and talked to him. The Lord showed up and revealed things to him. And Paul likens, he says, look, it's the system is exactly the same. It's by that which faith reveals so that it can be according to the grace of God or according to the presence of him. That which the presence of him reveals. The result of that in Abraham's life, he just believed and went with it. Are you guys getting anything out of this at all? So in the presence of him whom he believed, God, I love this next part, who gives life to the dead. I mean, now 2014, there's a lot of dead stuff. The Spirit of the Lord has told us your job in 2014 is to do just what your daddy's doing. Well, what does your daddy do? Well, it says he gives life to the dead. That word gives life is pretty cool. In the Greek New Testament, it means he's constantly arousing and invigorating and reanimating and restoring things. There's a lot of dead stuff out there that our responsibility is to arouse, invigorate, and reanimate. I love that word, reanimate. Reanimate. You remember that story of Ezekiel? The Spirit of God showed him a bunch of dead old bones. And it's funny. What do you see? A bunch of dead bones. Can they live? Good answer, Ezekiel. Well, you know. Your head doesn't even have to be able to wrap it around. In fact, he'd rather just get your head out of the way. There's a whole lot of dead things in 2014. There's a whole lot of dead bones, a whole lot of valley of dead bones that the Spirit of the Lord wants to be breathed upon and breathe life into those. You know what Ezekiel saw? Ezekiel saw the condition of natural man. And then he also visualized and saw what happens to a natural man when the Spirit of God comes on the inside of him. So God is constantly, it's in the present tense, so it's a constant ongoing thing. God is constantly arousing and invigorating and reanimating and restoring things. Revelation says, and we sang about it this morning, I think, you make all things new. He makes all things new. Acts chapter 2, verse 24, David explained it like this. I saw the Lord always in my presence, for He's at my right hand. You notice that's present tense. That's not used to be. He's at my right hand. I see Him before me always. Acts chapter 3, verse 19, notice what Peter preached to the crowd. He said, this gospel, he says, repent and what? What's the word? Wait a minute. Return? How do you return someplace you've never been? The fact is, this is where man originally was. What he's getting ready to explain. He says, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that the times of refreshing would come from the presence of the Lord. Human beings were originally created to live exactly in the same environment. David said, I saw the Lord always in my presence, and He's at my right hand. Folks, that is a picture of what the grace of God is. He said, it's by faith so that it might be according to grace. It's by that which faith reveals, so that it can be according to the presence of Him and the working of His power and what that produces. That sounds to me that you're resting from your own works when you're living in that environment, doesn't it? You? That's what the rest is. Labor to enter into rest. How did Abraham labor to enter into rest? Get this. Same chapter, Romans 4, where it just talked about in the presence of Him whom he believed, it also says that he grew strong in faith, giving glory to Him. He just showed you what the reciprocation environment is. It's a labor. What's the labor? The labor is the sacrifice of praise. Faith revealed things to Abraham. Abraham's response was to give glory to God. And the more he gave glory to God, the more faith revealed things to him. And it was just an ongoing reciprocating environment between him and the presence of him whom he believed. Even when he didn't feel like it, he threw up the sacrifice. He labored to enter into rest. Folks, I have literally had people get offended and leave this church because when they kept wanting me to pray for this situation and that situation. I have no problem doing that. But when my response became, you just need to begin to praise and worship Him for it being yours. They got mad and they left. They took offense and they left. Because they didn't understand. Folks, in 2014, there's not one single ailment, one single disease, one single infirmity, one single condition of human beings that you and your natural man can do anything about. But it's not about you and your natural man. It's about His presence in you and following the witness of where He instructs you when you're in the presence of that. And you do that, and it has to bow its knee. And there are things that the Scripture and the Spirit of God will reveal to you from the Scripture that belong to you. He's trying to get you to come to the place where you're like Abraham. Faith reveals something to you, and the very thing you do is you begin to glorify and worship Him. And every time you glorify and worship Him, faith starts to reveal more to you, and you begin to glorify and worship Him more, and you just stay in that place of rest. That is the rest of God right there. Hebrews chapter 4. Because you've ceased from your works, because you're not living disconnected over here. You're not trying to manufacture something so you can be pleasing to God, so God will please help me. Y'all still like me? Principle number two, the influence of living in the presence of Him. Now get this, guys. And when the Spirit of God said this to me, I was like, man, this is exactly what He wants to do in this coming year. This, the influence of living in the presence of Him will simply train us to be His outlet. Free from natural man's input. He'll train us to be His outlet, free from natural man's input. Luke 18:27, Jesus said this, "The things that are impossible with people are possible with God." Now I want you to ponder this, what I'm getting ready to read you in your notes. And there's plenty of verses there to back me up. But I'm going to show you some things in the coming weeks. I'm not trying to preach heresy, folks, but it's time we get a reality check. His. The routine message that's communicated through the new man is so often rooted in natural man. Jesus stated, now get this, the least in the kingdom is greater than John. The least in the kingdom is greater than John. So I don't care what your perspective of you is. If you're a new creation, if you're the new man, if you've declared and taken ownership of that which Jesus did through the death, burial, and resurrection of Him, if you've taken ownership of that and you've declared, yes, Jesus, You are Lord, and You made me righteous, and I have no past, and I thank You and praise You for that. When faith reveals that to you and you take ownership of that, then I don't care what your personal opinion of you is. Jesus says, I don't care if you're the very low of the low or the bottom of what is in the kingdom, you're still greater than John the Baptist. Did Jesus say that? Let me ask you a question. If that's true, then why did we just settle for John the Baptist's message? We settled for John the Baptist's message. When Jesus clearly made a line of demarcation between John and anybody that's in the kingdom. I'm going to show you the contrast next week. See, Jesus spoke this by the Spirit of God. He got this from His daddy. I should say it like this. He got this from your daddy. He said, if you're having faith on an ongoing, constant basis, I don't care if it's the size of a mustard seed, if you just got little, itty bitty, teeny weeny little piece revealed to you, something that faith revealed to you, then your response will be, you'll speak to this mountain and say, move from here to there, it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. You know, the reality is, and this, I'll close with this, we're called to the restoration of all things. You saw Peter say that in Acts chapter 3. We're not simply called to believe on the one who's coming. Man was created to share in Father's reality. You were called and designed and created to share in the reality that Father has. That is the gospel. Get anything out of this? Sometimes when I study this, I just want to go, like, dance around, just go crazy. If I could do a cartwheel, I'd probably try one, but I can't do one. So there have been times when I just jump around and twirl in circles because it's so awesome. He really is that good, guys. Everybody stand up. Thanksgiving's coming up this week. You know, and we'll turn the football games on, and we'll stuff ourselves with food. I'm speaking in generalities, okay? I'm speaking like Paul, okay? And, you know, folks have a certain level of understanding how to be thankful, but my gosh, folks, we as the new creation, we have so much to be thankful for. I'm so glad that my daddy has set me free from me. And I'm so glad that he loved me enough to give me all of him. And this Thanksgiving, when we sit down, I challenge you to communicate some of these things to the human beings that are around the table, because they just don't know. They don't know that Daddy set him on the throne. He gave him an older brother. I'm just going to say this, I'm done, I really am. We're moving into days, folks, where the Spirit of God, if we'll put ourselves in a position to just be, the Spirit of God wants to make the news. He wants to upstage the things that natural people are watching, and he wants to show off. And he's building churches all over this nation, this one included, where he's developing people that are not afraid to let him show off in a public arena. And because we'll let him do that, he surely will do that. And understand that it will become commonplace and it will become normal for him to show up every place that we go. Because freely we've received, therefore he'll freely give. And our lives will never be the same. Church will never be the same. And people in these cities that are represented in this room will never be the same. I don't know about you, but I want that, and I cannot wait for that to happen. Because that's where we're going. You won't think twice about it, you just act on it. And the Spirit of God will be right there to make all things new. Father, we just praise you and bless you. We thank you for your life on the inside of us. We thank you for this rest that you've given us, this grace of your presence. And my prayer for every person in this room is that the release of your power is commonplace in their life. They no longer look at the book of Acts and say, well, isn't that nice, what it used to be? They'll simply say, yep, that's the way Daddy is. And we'll just go about our life and we'll have fun with you and you'll have fun with us. Father, I declare the blessing of the Lord over everybody in this room, and I thank you that no weapon formed against them prospers. that no evil comes near their dwelling, because you've given your angels charge over them. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, have a blessed Thanksgiving and a blessed week.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.